Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Ron and Don Show on this beautiful Friday night here in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. My name is Don Allen, and as you know, a week and a half ago, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards unfortunately passed away at his home at 81 years old, and we are at this show still mourning the loss of Mr. Edwards and a number of things that are going on surrounding his funeral arrangements and his funeral. And I felt it important to go on the air because out of respect for Mr. Edwards, tomorrow we will not be doing a show because his funeral's tomorrow. And personally, I will not be going, and I will explain that later. Thank you for those of you that are listening on via Facebook Live. Before we get moving and talking about some items of interest here, people are pretty much dying to hear about at this point because I've raised a lot of hell today. I would like you to join me in welcoming Miss Janelle Hehe. She's the author of How to Defeat a Narcissist, The Complete Guide to Shut Down Narcissistic Abuse. And you can get that on Amazon.com. And I will post the link on the show so you can get that. Miss Hehe, how are you?
I'm doing great, despite meteorologists saying that this has been the grayest January in like 20 years. I'm doing really good.
Yep. Yeah, it was amazing. Speaking of the weather, it was amazing outside today. I was at work, of course, but I walked outside a couple of times because it was snowing for a minute here in West St. Paul. And I said, wow, this is really nice. And it was not that chilly out. We want to let our listeners know our call-in telephone number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. And the phone lines are open. But before we get to the heart of the issue, and we'll have a 90-minute program this morning, or this, excuse me, I'm so used to doing this in the morning, this evening. It was really weird, Janelle. I was looking at the Star and Tribune, and I saw this article that Minnesota welfare payments to increase for the first time in 33 years. And I was shocked. I said, oh, wow. I mean, at first I thought they must have been making a bundle. Then I looked at it. It's going to increase for a family of three to $632 per month. What are the implications, do you think, of that? I mean, how does that sound to you, Janelle?
It definitely doesn't match the inflation rate since the last 33 years. So it really, it's going to make a very small difference, and it's not going to be anything sustainable for people in need of help. I just don't think that, although it's a gesture, it's just not going to solve any problems as far as the program is. I don't know, the effectiveness of the program, and as it, the increase is not going to make the program more effective. It's going to help a little bit, but I would expect them to even throw in a little bit more resources or other things to help these families get back on their feet in addition to the $100. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. You know, I happen to be a veteran. I know that if you served in the military and you're going to school for a certain amount of time, the military comes in and they give you about $1,000 a month while you're in school, as long as you're keeping a passing GPA. And then after you get out of school, they court you for another 4 or 5 months. And they make sure that you're on your feet, that you're sustainable, that you have adequate housing, and you get a job. And then once you have a job, they have you to come in and get counseled about bills, light, electric, gas, cable, things that you might need. And it doesn't really make any sense because there's no way a family of three can live on $650 estimated a month in Minnesota and actually have a good life. And I posted this on my Facebook page. I just think this is another form of control, corporate welfare, where, you know, you get a lot of sheep, a lot of people that, you know, for whatever means, for whatever reason, they can't survive. And so now, you know, they're stuck in this system. And there's no way a family of three can get out of that system with $630 a month, period.
A single person couldn't live off $630 a month, let alone a family of three. And if we're going to have a welfare system, why not make it a complete welfare system that is really going to matter, that is really going to help these families? Otherwise, why do we have one? It's just like we're half-stepping. It just doesn't seem like a complete welfare program that's really going to get these families where they need to be. It's not going to get them out of the rut they're in. And I do agree that it is kind of systematic, throwing $100 at this problem when this is a multi-tiered problem, poverty in this country, in the state of Minnesota, especially with the wealth gap being so high. I don't think that the welfare program is effective at all in many different measures, but the $100 a month is definitely not going to help.
So I guess we could say then we can come to an agreement that this might be another failed attempt at trying to fix an issue. And in our production meeting, we were talking about that Connect 700 program, and you brought up an interesting point and about the things that Mark Dayton says he did or have done or put in place. We haven't really seen any successes, have we?
None. I haven't seen any. He was supposed to give a lot of funding to help assist in closing the wealth gap between African-American and white people in Minnesota, and that has not happened. I actually don't even know where that money went or if the program was even fully funded, but I'm going to come back one day on the show with a report on that. But, yeah, the disabilities program is another failure, unfortunately, with, what did they say, 12% of the people actually benefiting from the program that applied?
Yeah, it's really funny. The Connect 700 program, I actually applied because, you know, I was diagnosed in the 80s with severe depression and PTSD by the VA, and I saw this, and I remember that this thing was available. And I said, well, let me try to go in here and see if I get a job with the state. You know, I was already working, but I wanted to see if I could get a job with the state, and it doesn't work. It does not work at all whatsoever. And so I'm sitting there, I'm going like, wow, this is really strange.
For whatever reason.
Oh, let me turn this off. I'm sorry. It was really strange that you never got a call back. No one ever reached out to you. And this reminds me of one more thing that Governor Dayton did. You remember the talk in, like, back, I think it was 2015, 2014, somewhere around there, where at the time Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges and St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman said that they were to, you know, eliminate homeless veterans. And Governor Dayton distributed, I think it was about $100 million to organizations that dealt with homeless veterans. But he ignored agencies that dealt with African Americans or Black Minnesotans that were veterans. And still to this day, we don't know where this money went, how it was benefited in the community, but we know that a lot of people got paid. And that's just from the ongoing and the continued, what I call malfeasance, I think, of this particular administration and maybe in some time the DFL. And so with that said, go ahead, please.
No, yeah, I agree. I was just saying that these programs, you know, we really have to start looking into, we get really excited, you know, me kind of leaning left and in the middle, I get really excited when I hear the word program and it really needs to be examined and really analyzed, like what this program is going to accomplish and how it's going to be accomplished and who are we going to hold accountable to make sure that whatever the objective is of the program gets accomplished, because we have all these programs that are essentially ineffective. So basically we shouldn't even have the programs. So when they run their elections on these programs they're going to create, we need to start looking at these track records, because
it's not adding up.
No, not at all. You're
the programs are
right.
Not delivering on their promises, so we have to go beyond the programs, or is it just a front to get a vote? I don't know.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I would agree with your thesis 100% because it's understandable that someone wants to be in charge, someone wants to lead the way, while others just kind of sit around and don't really do what they need to do, and someone loses. And there's always losers in this game when you're playing politics. I'd like to tell all our guests that you're listening to myself and Miss Janelle Hehe. She is the new co-host, and we're kind of filling out, you know, each other here and getting this chemistry thing going. We were on iHeart's Twin Cities News Talk Radio a couple years back, and I felt really good with her on the air, but we only had her once, and then she kind of disappeared. Poof. No, she was, you know, you're writing a book. She's the author of How to Defeat a Narcissist, The Complete Guide to Shut Down Narcissistic Abuse, and that's on Amazon. You can buy that book. I would suggest you go at Amazon right now and Google How to Defeat a Narcissist. Her website is Janelle Hehe, that's H-I-H-I, Janelle, J-A-N-E-L-L-H-I-H-I.com. And check her out. You think you can, I'm sure you can order the book from there. You can go directly to Amazon. And we have someone well-written, well-versed here. And I just think it's a good idea to keep the Ron and Don show going, and we most definitely will. We're going to have people like Steve from the Midwest, and Mr. M from South, his palatial Studio C in Minneapolis. He'll call in, guys like that that have been friends of the show for years. Janelle, I appreciate you being here for this 90-minute special program. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. In segueing and continuing on, the title of this show is Why I Will Not Attend Mr. Edwards' Funeral. And, Janelle, out of respect for Mr. Edwards, I felt that I need to explain this. When I found out that he wasn't on the show two Saturdays ago because he was deceased in his apartment in Crystal, I was broken. I wondered what I was going to do, how I was going to do it. Then I went back and started listening to episodes. And I remember all the times that Mr. Edwards and I met at Monte Carlo's, that he's been over he was actually my kid's local grandpa, because my parents, my mother and father are dead. And he came over, would play with the kids, and just, I'd never seen, just they would be buck wild, and he could control them. They'd listen to everything. They'd read books. They'd sit there patiently. So he was the grandpa, local grandpa to my children. We did 500 and he's done, let me put it like this. He's done 540 shows. That's every Wednesday or Saturday for the last 10 years. I've done 512 because I missed some because of my schedule. In the last 10 years, my wife had two children. And of course, if the kid comes out, it doesn't matter when the show is. The kid is coming. He can't wait till after the show. And I miss shows for that and for my education schedule. And Ron would always say, Mr. Edwards would say, you know what? We got to keep the integrity of the show. The show must go on. I'll just call in and I'll do it myself. And by God, he would sit there and talk for a solid hour with no gaps, no stuttering, with detailed information. And then I would listen to the show a little bit later, and I just would be amazed at Mr. Edwards' skill set to hold the show like that and give information and rarely repeat himself. And the shows are beautiful. I have them all archived right now, and we're going to use them at a later date. But a lot of interesting stuff there, and I appreciate Mr. Edwards. But the day And as you know, I feel like I just need to tell this story to kind of set this up because I'm going to play a recording later also. But Mr. Edwards has a brother. His brother lives in Minnesota. His brother was on our show last week. And people got to him before I talked to him and made it seem like I was a bad guy, that I did not know Mr. Edwards, when in fact I've known Mr. Edwards since I was 14 years old. Matter of fact, he was the third in line to give me, he was getting ready to give me a whooping for throwing a volleyball at my sister in the backyard. And he looked at me and said, "Don't you hit another woman again." And I haven't from that day. And then later as an adult, I worked for him. I did a couple things for him in life before we started doing this radio show, but we've always connected. You see, I'm not from Chicago, Gary, Indiana, Omaha, Oklahoma, or one of them states. I'm born in Minnesota, born in St. Paul, raised in St. Paul and Minneapolis. And Ron Edwards has been here since the 40s, late 40s, and my uncle, the late Reverend Walter L. Battle, gave him his first haircut. He also gave Mr. Edwards' brother, Kim Edwards, his first haircut when he got here. And so there's a history. There's something in common there. But anyway, make a long story even longer, Janelle. I just really pisses me off, and I want to throw people through walls, but you can't do that in 2020 because you'll go to jail. But his is the only name I'm going to use. I'm not going to talk about the other players because they're all hyped up right now, and I don't have to say their names because people already know who they are. But anyway, someone got to Mr. Edwards' brother, and I got some telephone calls about the Ron and Don show. And then after talking to him, I got a couple more telephone calls from other people asking me this: how much money have you made on that radio show with Mr. Edwards? Isn't he 50% owner? And I saw straight red. I said, first of all, we've never made a penny off Blog Talk Radio. Mr. Edwards refused to do sponsorships, advertisements. He says the only way that we would take money for this show is if someone wanted to pay Blog Talk Radio for us to broadcast. Because for 10 years, we paid the fee of $50 a month to use Blog Talk Radio. We have an option to use it every day for 2 hours, or one day, or 3 days, or 2 days a week. But we have the option to go on live whenever we want to, basically, by making that payment. They also have a $1,000 package, but we weren't going there. I wasn't going there. And after I explained this, this person, not related to Mr. Edwards, backed down. Now they're planning Mr. Edwards' funeral. I get these calls that say, hey, we're going to have this meeting. We want to plan Mr. Edwards' funeral, you know, and talk about it, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I'm available Saturday and Sunday and during the week after 4. I don't hear anything. The Star and Tribune calls me 3 times. They say, Don, we're frustrated. We put Mr. Edwards' obituary and wake dates and funeral and all this information 3 different times. We've changed it. And it keeps changing. What's going on? I says, you know, I don't know. I don't know when the wake was. I did not know what was happening. And when I call, I wouldn't get any information. But I did call this gentleman. I'm going to call him Thing One. I said, hey, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what you're doing. And then he read a list off these DFL politicians that will be talking at Mr. Edwards' funeral tomorrow. And I said, wait a minute. You know good and damn well Mr. Edwards was indifferent. I didn't say hate. He was indifferent with these people. These people marginalized Mr. Edwards. They ignored him. He didn't have a seat at the table. These are our black elected officials. He would speak to them in public. They wouldn't shake his hand. And sometimes they would laugh at him. Like, what's that old guy doing? I've seen this firsthand. You know, and now he's dead, and you want to have talk to his funeral. You want to give him a proclamation. You want to do all this stuff so you steal his time during his funeral for yourself. And these are all DFL, Minnesota DFL elected officials, and left-leaning folks in our community. And you wonder why we can't get anything done. And so that kind of pissed me off. Then I asked Thing One, I said, hey, I would like 5 minutes to talk sincerely about Ron Edwards at his funeral. And I was told no. I was told several times before I recorded it, I'm going to play the clip, that I could not speak at Ron Edwards' funeral. I could not say a word at one Ron Edwards' funeral on tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. That I was to keep my mouth shut. If I had a letter to read, I could read a letter. But other than that, I didn't have a letter. And if I do, it's none of this Thing One's business. But I understand Mr. Edwards thought that this person was an idiot. The people that are going to speak at Mr. Edwards' funeral tomorrow, Mr. Edwards was indifferent with them, meaning that he understood what their agenda was, why they were, how they were, if that makes sense, and why no problems in Minnesota's black community were getting solved. And the main people that will be talking about Mr. Edwards tomorrow at his funeral is the problem in Minnesota. Mr. Edwards was indifferent with Bishop Howe. I questioned, why would you have Mr. Edwards' funeral in Bishop Howe's church? It was ignored. So everybody's trying to get a piece of this celebrity, which is false celebrity, because Mr. Edwards didn't roll like that. But I would like to play the recording, and I'll play it again later, of myself, and I'll call this person Thing One, denying me an opportunity at Mr. Edwards' funeral.
Huh? Okay, what about the funeral?
At the funeral, hey, did you say you got a letter for Ron, if you want to read a letter or something,
Yeah, but I would like 5 minutes to speak at his funeral, since I was the closest person with him for the last part of his life.
Okay,
but you know what? I did a show with him for 10 years, Al. All I'm asking you is to give me 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking you, man.
That's the recording before I got frustrated and pissed off and I hung up. But you see the gentleman on the other end of the phone who I'll identify as Thing One? There was no way. He said he's going to send him off the right way. After that phone call, I get a call that, you know, they're collecting money to bury Mr. Edwards. That Estes costs $8,000. It was $10,000. They talked him down to $8,000. And Janelle, this is going to trip you out. Ron was a good friend with the owners of Brooks Funeral Home. Brooks Funeral Home and St. Paul said they would have done Mr. Edwards' funeral for free.
Wow.
Okay. They would have done it for free. And I have someone who talked directly to Brooks Funeral Home, who is a friend, been years friends of Mr. Edwards. They said they wouldn't have, they knew what Mr. Edwards did in the community. They knew who he was in the community. Brooks Funeral Home, again, if you didn't hear it, now you're hearing it for the first time. They said they would bury and do Mr. Edwards' funeral for free. So why am I getting phone calls that I need $200? I need this. We're collecting this. Now, I'm grateful to the people like Louis King, Jerry McAfee, and others that have given money, because Mr. Edwards actually liked Jerry McAfee. He actually liked Louis King, even though Louis King would go back and forth with us, tell us we didn't take our medication in the morning, we would crack up. You know, Louis King and Jerry McAfee was on our radio show several times talking the truth. And in spite of the disagreements we've had with Louis King and Jerry McAfee, still, Jerry McAfee and Louis King are a few of the soldiers that spoke the truth. And Mr. Edwards appreciated that. No matter what, we can hate each other one week and like each other the next week. We're just doing what we do. But yet you have these people in the mix, Janelle, and I have to explain this. I'm sure there's an academic explanation for this. I don't know if I'll get there tonight because it's very emotional for me. But there are people in Minnesota's black community that don't have a leg to stand on. They have to ride a coattail in life and in death. They need a consistent 15 minutes of fame on a like a dope dealer, like a dope addict. They need a regular 15 minutes of fame on a regular basis to separate them in their minds between the big eyes and a little youth. And it has nothing to do with helping the community. You know, let's look at it. Mr. Edwards and I looked at this throughout the years. Let's look at the empowerment zone. Let's look at all the programs, Janelle, we were just talking about with the state to help people have a better life. You can't help people be better people, but you can help people have better lives. Let's look at the achievement zone. The North Side Achievement Zone. Let's look at all these things put in place, because these were areas where people of color live that have not done a damn thing. And the people behind it, the people for it and against it, are the same people that are destroying us from the inside. We don't need a white guy to do anything. We don't need a white man to be racist. We got good black people that will do that for us. You know, it's nuts.
Yay!
Oh, thank you. I don't know what to say. Your comments. Your comments, if any.
Yeah, it's interesting. Thing one, as we're referring to him as, reminds me of a Dr. Seuss book. Thing one, I noticed when on the recording he said, "Hey, I just want to send him out the right way," but what is you speaking for 5 minutes? What does that have to do with sending him out the right way or the wrong way? If you spoke for 5 minutes, it wouldn't be sending him out the right way. It was like a total deflection. I can just tell he just didn't want you to speak. And then what do they mean you can read a letter? Read a letter? How long would that take if you're asking for 5 minutes to speak versus reading a letter? It just sounds like a lot of Yeah, I understand your frustration completely by that recording, because it sounded like he was just completely trying to deflect and dodge from giving you any opportunity to really speak your piece at your friend's funeral, which is really sad. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say that, but then, yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Okay, here's what I'm looking at. It's like I'm not really even mad at him anymore. I'm not mad at the whole deal, because this has been going on for years in Minnesota's black community. And I need to emphasize this. You know, again, we don't need a white person to do anything. We got black people that will F us up. Look around. How can somebody with the intelligence that is not applicable to decision making and organizational design be put in charge or place himself in a leadership role? Now, I'm all about leadership. Don't get me wrong. Leadership comes in many forms and many shapes and many people in many ways. But we've already seen a trajectory of failed attempts. So how does this happen in our community? How does someone say, oh, he's screaming or she's screaming the loudest? Let's give her some money. Janelle, I know if you saw, you've seen this too. We might have talked about this before. When there is a police, when a white police officer guns down a black man in the Twin Cities, every activist comes out of the closet. They're on the street. They're at protests. They're shutting down stuff until this system finds out who's in charge. When this system in Twin City finds out who's in charge, they will reach out to those people and say, what can we do? What can we do to keep you from protesting in the street? What can we do to stop you from having your people blocking cars? And the next thing you know, you hear about grants, $50,000 grants, $100,000 grants, $250,000 grants, $25,000 grants, going to the select folks. Now, it's a hustle. I know black people in Minnesota, they need a hustle, some of them. Some of them didn't go to college. Some of them can't write books. Some of them can't even read books. But you got to have a hustle to survive. I'm not mad at the hustle. I'm of the lack of results from the hustle. I'm mad
yeah,
at
I'm
the only
to
time the hustle.
With you.
Yeah, I'm mad. Every time the hustle happens, someone has to die for it to even go into effect. So with that said, I'm looking at Mr. Edwards' funeral arrangement, and I'm like, damn, I did a show with him for 10 years. He knew my family personally. He knew me personally. We hung out on more than one time a month on the radio or one time a week on the radio. He would tell me things. I spent time at his house scanning 5,000 documents. He's telling me all his history. He's telling me all this stuff. And it's over 10 years. No one knows this. No, there's stuff that I will not share with a soul. That Mr. Edwards has told me. I will not share it with a soul. But yet, there's a funeral planned with members of the DFL to give him a proclamation. And they would not recognize him when he was alive. There are members of the DFL and the black community on stage to somehow celebrate Mr. Edwards' life. Now that he's dead, because it's safe for them. That's sickening. That's absolutely sickening, disgusting. And for this guy to do this and try to erase history, it's going to get ugly before it gets pretty. Because I don't understand this. I did not even know my cousin Lawrence Jackson died. His funeral for the local people here was last night. I had no idea until I saw K.G. Wilson's Facebook page that they had a funeral, a service thing last night at Estes for Mr. Edwards, which cost $8,000 all the way to the funeral. But then again, no one would check with Brooks. Brooks said they would do it for free. And how did we get that twisted in Minnesota? Again, our phone lines are open. I would like to hear your voice and suggestions. Here we go. Producers tell us, Janelle, that this is Mr. M from South Minneapolis. Mr. M, you're live on the air. Go ahead. And up after Mr. M, we have Steve from the Midwest Holding. Go ahead, Mr. M.
Okay, I'll be brief because I want to hear Steve too. I'm really glad he's called in. I really enjoy him. And you know, Dad, I hope you're able to kind of take a step back from these people because, you know, just making an observation here, you know, I'll be 70 years old this year. And I knew Mr. Edwards, you know, my family was big in the church, Bethesda Baptist, and Ron knew all about that church. I would talk to him about that. He knew the members of the church. He could go through that whole thing and tell me the whole, with all the deacons, my grandfather, all of that. And so what you're doing is really trying to continue Ron's track. And you're on the track. And it's funny, you know, I went to his service at the Estes. Very, very nice place. It was nice service. Very good speakers, people like Nick Kalig, Josie Johnson, all of his good cohorts were really there. It was really good. But it's, you know, there's this undercurrent that I keep sensing where it's almost like some of these people are almost saying, now that he's gone, we can take over, we can do our thing. You know, I mean, maybe I'm feeling it wrong. You know, I mean, because when these things happen, it's so emotional. There's so many feelings. There's so many emotions that come out. But for some reason, I got from certain people, now we don't have to worry about a rebel rouser. We can just kind of just with impunity, we can do what we do. Now, I would be the first to say that I hope that I'm wrong at that statement. But for some reason, I don't know why I feel that. And, you know, for you to be shunned, you know, with all the work you've done with Mr. Edwards, and I know he's really, you know, I mean, knowing him like you have, I'm sure he imparted a lot of wisdom, because every time I talk to him, I mean, he'll go back to things like, you know, my dad did books on the black community, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I gave him a copy of the book when it was reprinted by the Historical Society. And he told me how, you know, he knew my dad, and that there were four people that were doing papers and were journalists then. It was a lady named Jeannie. I don't know why I can't think of her last name now, but she had the Twin Cities Observer. There was Miss Mary Kyle that had the Twin Cities Courier. There was Cecil Newman with the Spokesman. And there was my dad doing his books. And they had an organization where they were able to, with Ron was involved with this, where they would go to the powers that be to get advertisements to say that the Star Tribune, these papers, are not covering our issues, to allow them. Some of my dad actually started even a fledgling monthly magazine. And I have a few copies of that. But in those magazines, you'll have advertisements from Orange Crush Pop and all these different companies, because this was something that Ron helped do. He would help all the community people do something positive. And, you know, he's really missed. I'm planning to go to the service tomorrow. You know, I just want to pay my respects to the man. You know, he's been so supportive of me, my family, and everybody in the Twin Cities area. And another thing you pointed out, you know, you being born in St. Paul, raised, see, there's a real history of people of Minneapolis, St. Paul that have been just back and forth forever. I mean, I have some of my best friends that I grew up with here that I would see some of my friends in St. Paul, and they just embrace each other, and they're like, oh, I used to live next door to him in St. Paul. Or I used to live next door here in Minneapolis. So that divide, he and people like Mahmoud, they go where we are, okay? They're saying, I'm not a Minneapolis guy. I'm not a St. Paul guy. Wherever black people were in doing something, that's where Ron Edwards would go. So, I mean, I just want to applaud your efforts. I just wanted to call in and, you know, make a few statements. Boy, I tell you, it's these things are a big blow, and it's going to take a while for people to really kind of absorb this particular loss. One thing I will say, too, I had a chance to meet Ron's brother, his son, you know, at Estes, which is a very nice facility, by the way. I was really impressed with the facility. I hadn't been there for a service before. Wow, and I could just tell how they, you know, they were, you know, they were just trying to take everything in. And I'm hoping the community can just continue to support them, because this is what, basically, this is all we can do now.
Yep, that's right. Absolutely right. I'm going to put you in the queue, M. And
right.
We need to come back. Is that okay? All right. We have producer say Steve from the Midwest. Steve, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm sort of probably cloudy.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
I can hear the anger in your voice, and I feel it too, because I think that the way they're doing to you, and the way that that gentleman on the phone said they were going to send him off, I wonder if you'd agree with me. That's exactly the opposite of what Ronald Edwards was all about. He was about including everybody. I mean, he'd want everybody to have a chance to say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that that's his mother's side of the family, the Miller side of the family. When his mother passed away, there was a podium. Anybody who wanted to say anything could come up and talk. When they went to the mausoleum, it was the same thing. Anybody that had anything to say, they could speak. And I'm just, it's very, very sad to me, because that really kind of tarnishes his legacy a little bit. But in a, mm-hmm. in a roundabout way, you're kind of keeping his legacy alive. The same thing that M just said about staying on that track and calling people out when they need to be called out, you know, and obviously they need to be called out on this.
Go ahead. Steve, if you give me a minute, I have some people that are requesting to hear this tape you're talking about, this 47 seconds. And
okay.
Just don't hang up. I want to come back to you, but I want to play this. And we're getting some people from some local mainstream media asking me to play it because they just tuned in. So I'm going to play this. This is the person I'm calling Thing A or Thing 1 telling me that I'm not going to speak at Mr. Edwards' funeral.
Okay, what about the funeral? Yeah, but I would like 5 minutes to speak at his funeral, since I was the closest person with him for the last part of his life. Okay, but you know what? I did a show with him for 10 years, Al. All I'm asking you is to give me 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking you, man.
And that's the recording, Steve, that I wanted you to hear, Steve from the Midwest. I wanted you to hear of this person.
Pathetic.
And it's hard to listen to that. It was hard to download it and just upload it to Blog Talk Radio, because I'm going to keep it there for a minute. But I don't know. I mean, as I was telling Janelle earlier, some people in our community, and I'm being careful with my words to bypass slander and defamation of any one public person, but some people in our community cannibalize other people's goodwill, efforts, and accomplishment to make it seem they are somebody. They want to continue, like a drug addict. They need a continued dose of this 15 minutes of fame to continue on their life. So in their social circles and their cabals, that so-and-so, he or she does this or done that. But yet we don't see any results on the tail end, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Someone gets paid,
yeah.
Someone gets played, you say, on the street. But go ahead, Steve.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying that, you know, I've known Mr. Edwards my whole life, And I just can't believe that he would exclude, particularly wouldn't exclude you from anything in the funeral. So it's sad to watch this because it's really about his legacy, and it should be about the inclusion of everyone who wants to speak or has something to say. And you, like you say, you've been with him for 10 years. Like I said last week, you provided him a platform for him to get a lot of this stuff out. You've known him for years prior to that even. So it's just kind of shocking to me. I was shocked by his death. Now I'm shocked and saddened by this too. So
Ron would want me to tell this story. Mr. Edwards would want me to tell this story.
Uh-huh.
You know, he'd want people to know what was happening. This is his main thing. His favorite saying is like, Mr. Allen, we're going to put our foot in their ass today. I mean, when he broke news, he broke news before the mainstream media. He would call me up. He goes, Mr. Allen, I need you to post this. I don't care if I was at work. I'd stop everything that I was doing and go to the computer, go to Twitter, Facebook, wherever. I'd write down word for word what he would say. And people would say, oh, that can't be right, because it wasn't in the mainstream media.
Yeah.
And it's very disheartening and dishonest by these folks to think that they will build a platform for them. And it's really, when this guy told me that former Minneapolis Mayor Sharon Sales Belton was speaking at Ron Edwards' funeral, my chest tightened.
Mm.
Okay, my stomach hurt, my chest tightened. I was like, wait a minute. This, and we have Miss Janelle Hehe on. We have M and Steve from the Midwest on, why, so people know that are listening in the background. And I said, why would this lady speak at Mr. Edwards? Mr. Edwards did not dislike her, but they were indifferent. I'm not going to go into the stories that Mr. Edwards told me, why and what happened, the particulars, because I'm going to save that for a later date. But when I was told of all these politicians that were to give him proclamation, my chest got tighter. I said, Mr. Edwards was alive 30 days ago. You haven't called or talked to him. As a matter of fact, you laughed at him in public. Now you want to give him a reward.
Yeah.
That's hypocrisy at the highest level.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I don't know. It's sick. It's sad. It's stupid. But look at it. This is what we have to deal with. We have people from Minnesota, and this is another conversation I was having earlier today. Someone that was born in St. Paul, raised in Minnesota, a professional, black man, he asked me, he said, what happened to the people in Minnesota, the black people? What happened to them?
Yeah.
Because, you know, folks were complaining about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, coming from Somalia, coming from a refugee camp, then getting elected to Congress. He said, what happened? And he's not mad at her. Don't get me wrong. No one's mad. I like Ilhan Omar's fire, okay, because she will tell you off in a minute. I love that. That creates news stories, as you know.
Damn.
But where are the people, the black people, the black Americans in Minnesota with that fire? Where did they go? You know, what happened? Was the nonprofit money so good, that racket so good, that's the best you could do? I'm sorry, but I can't live off $25,000 here and there.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work. You guys, hold on. We have another caller. Janelle, you still there?
I'm still here. I'm learning all this great information about Mr. Edwards and soaking it all in.
Okay, we have another caller. Let's see if we can get that caller in. Caller, your last four is 5908. Caller, you're live on the Ron and Don Show. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Valerie Lockhart from the Minneapolis Television Network.
Hey, Valerie, how are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to call in, and I'm disturbed about what you're talking about, but I wanted to reiterate, I think that you should be allowed to say what you need to say about Mr. Edwards. I know he spent his time split between your show and then doing his show at MTN every week, religiously for a long time. And I know that what you're saying is true about how he would, one of your other callers said he would want everybody to have a say, and everybody to be there. And he certainly probably wouldn't be too happy about being sent off by a bunch of DFL politicians. But
that's perfect. And since you called, let me tell you guys a short story. Not too many people tell this story anymore, but a piece of it, Valerie, you know, that he was one of the signatures for MTN, Minneapolis Television Network, when it first started way back whenever, okay?
Yes, sir.
The second piece that is not known is that Ron Edwards was a great parliamentarian, which means he knew Robert's rules of order backwards and forwards. He went to the projects. He went to the projects of North Minneapolis, right off Olson Highway, 5th and Bryan, in that area, and he talked to these community groups, and these black women did not have a voice. Nobody was listening to them in City Hall. He got these women together in the 70s. They wrote up articles in Corporation. They filed with the FCC, and they started their Center for Communication and Development /KMLJ-FM radio.
Yep.
The radio station was on the top floor in an apartment building in Northside of Minneapolis with an antenna hanging on the roof that barely got 1 or 5 watts. Mr. Edwards pushed the agenda till they had the space on 5th and Bryant, still in the project, with more wattage so you could hear the radio station everywhere. When I was an adult, from the time I was 14 years old to the time I think I was in my early 30s, that's when Ron Edwards came back into my life. And I'm going to tell this short story, and anybody can comment, but I worked in what they call white radio. And Mr. Edwards was the chairman of the board of KMLJ, which was the Center for Communication and Development. They were to train black folks in the community to bring them up to snuff in radio, news radio, talk radio, sales in radio, marketing, and send them off to WLOL, KDWV, KMFY, KQRS. And somehow that fell apart. But anyway, in August of 1989, Mr. Edwards called me. He called my mom. And I walked into my mom's house, and my mom said, Donnie, Mr. Edwards called you. He said, go to KMOJ. I said, Mom, I'm not going to KMOJ. She said, if you don't take your butt over there, I'm going to throw this skillet at you. So I got in my car. I drove over to KMOJ. Mr. Edwards was outside talking. He said, come here, boy. And Mr. Edwards is the only one I let call me boy, okay? He called me into the studio. He says, we're not able to make payroll. You see all these people walking around here smiling and happy? We have to keep them smiling and happy so we have a radio station so the FCC doesn't take our license. He says, I already know you're working in radio. I already know you know how to do this. He says, I need a development director, and I need to hire you on Monday. And I said, well, I work down. He said, I don't care where you work. He said, I need you to start on Monday. So So I went back to my main job in the Piper Jaffray Hopwood building in downtown Minneapolis, air conditioned, beautiful, the 29th floor. And I had 200 or 300 hours worth of leave time. So I put in my 2-week notice and went on vacation and walked into the radio station that Monday morning. It was scary what was going on, what I did, but Mr. Edwards pushed me to take a risk. The first time in my life that I really took a risk. It was beneficial because I found out that at KMLJ, I could write grants, I could do underwriting, I could make sure that that radio station from 1989 till 1990 received $160,000 in funding every 3 months. That was the goal. They didn't miss payroll.
That's
again.
Huge.
Everybody got there are people there that work there right now that can testify to this. But yet that history of Ron Edwards and what he did for KMLJ, what Prince did for KMLJ, what Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did for KMLJ, what Sheila E. did for KMLJ, what Suzanne, what David T.C. Ellis, Jerome Bitten, that stuff is systematically being erased because there are no more historians. So I just tell you that, Valerie, that I appreciate you. I value you calling in. It means a lot. And I hope you continue to listen because the show is going to continue. Go ahead, please.
I have been, for sure. And I appreciate what you're doing. I really appreciated Mr. Edwards. And the community is missing a huge asset today. I wanted to ask you, one thing I had been thinking about, Mr. Edwards would bring in a different book every week for his show as kind of a talking piece. And I'm wondering if you know what is going to happen with his library, because that's super important to me to find out that that's being preserved somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know that answer, but. It seems like things are a little discombobulated, and I hope that doesn't
very
get lost.
Yeah, and Mr. Edwards was the books that he brings. It's really funny that you say that because I'm looking at the bookshelf in my lower level of my house, and I'm looking at the chair where Mr. Edwards would sit and go through the books. I don't put bookshelves. I'm an English teacher, a high school English teacher, so I have to read quite a bit, and I do read for fun all the time. And Mr. Edwards, you have helped me make a connection, because where I live, I never could watch his show, right? But he would come over, he says, I'm gonna take this book. And I would never get it back, but I wouldn't care. And he got books in a whole bunch of places, and I'm going to talk to someone that is actually one of the people that he said could go have access to his apartment. And I've talked to that person because I want 25 copies of the Minneapolis story, part one and part two, for my classroom library. And if I have to fight for it, I will. If I have to pay for them, I will. But I will pose that question to these two high-ranking officials that Mr. Edwards really trusted, and see if we can't do something, you know, with his library and MTN as well as his radio archive. I think that would be a spectacular come together just with the information.
There's so much information, so much information. And, you know, we're going to start pulling together all of the archives of his show that I can find. Unfortunately, with our organization, there was some erasure of history that happened as well. Mr. Edwards would talk about it a lot, and so. But I've been there the last 3 years, and I have everything that he has done at least through that period. So I just want to make sure that his legacy goes on and that it's not erased, because he was a very important person that gave a lot of good things to a lot of people, and it can't be forgotten.
Yeah, and I agree, and I'd like to thank you for spending some time with us tonight, and we'll be back on the
thank
air
you.
Tomorrow. We're not going to be on the air out of respect for Mr. Everett's funeral, but as I said, I'm not attending because of this political party and what's happening and the people in charge. So, but I will be doing something else.
Well, and I hope
you'll
join us at our event. We're going to have a memorial at the studio. I hope you will join us for that. So.
Someone actually called me and
okay.
told me about that event. And just a minute, let me get this sound down. Someone actually told me about that event on February 8th, and I will definitely be there.
Awesome.
And I certainly plan on being there. That's an important thing. Someone had from MTN reached out to me via social media, and I had no idea, but I will certainly be there. And I'll see if Miss Janelle Hehe can come too. And
awesome.
That should be really interesting and really fun. But anything else in closing?
No, just thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Miss Valerie, for calling.
That's
Miss Valerie from Minneapolis Television Network calling around and Don Show to talk about Mr. Edwards and his great legacy. We appreciate that call. And MTN will always be a favorite of the Ron and Don Show for as long as this show is on and for as long as MTN is going. Wow, that was a lot. That was a lot. We got erasures happening everywhere in our community. So to continue with this, and I just think it's very important, as Valerie was saying, to preserve Mr. Ronald A. Edwards' legacy, but to also keep his investigative spirit. You know, people would say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, and then a day later it was true. And we'd go out and find things, and it was all Mr. Edwards. It was Mr. Edwards' show. You know, I just happened to be lucky enough to ride with him, to be his road dog, his right-hand man, you know, and that's a far greater honor. It's a huge honor, and I appreciate Mr. Edwards for giving me this opportunity because he could have went anywhere else, and he did. He said, let's do it. Let's do Blog Talk Radio, and for 10 years. There's some people who haven't been married for 10 years. And you just look at it and you go like, wow, 10 years, that's a long time. That's a lot going on.
Am I still on? This is him.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You and Steve are still on. And
I really appreciate the young lady calling in because, you know, that week, you know, the weekend before Ron passed in the show, I realized he wasn't on the show that Saturday. Okay? And that Monday was Martin Luther King Day. And so
yeah.
I had got called by some people to come to MTN, you know, through my nonprofit or whatever, and they wanted me to be part of a live broadcast that they were doing on Martin Luther King Day, and they said that Ron was going to do a live program from 2 to 3 o'clock, a live broadcast on MTN. And so I go down there, get down there, and I said, oh, is Ron still here? And one of the producers said, you know, Ron, he didn't call, he didn't show up, and he's been here for 20 years. He's never missed a program. He's never, every day he comes in to do, for 20 years, he would do that. And so I was really, I said, dang, and he didn't show up? And something told me to call him, and like a dummy, I didn't realize that I had his phone, I had his number in my phone. I could have called him. And I kept saying, well, when I get home, I'll have to call. And then the next day, I saw something from you that he had passed away. But I say that to say, I mean, he did this stuff right to the end. I mean, he did his thing right to the end. And that 20 years on that program, I never missed the program. I have tapes of the program, too. It comes on every Sunday at 5 o'clock on MTN. And then they replay it a couple times during the week. But, I mean, that's just a testament to his, you know, dedication to what he did and to who he is and, you know, what he left here. And
you know, one of the last of the real soldiers, I'm talking about like the Matthew Littles, the Harry Davises, the Gleason Glovers, he came up, Reverend Stanley Kings, he came up with all of those people, you know, and he was almost like the last real soldier from that thing where we had a time when politicians would come to the black community because they wanted votes. They would come to events. They would come to our neighborhoods, knock on our doors. And he's from that era, and I'm sure it's just really to him saying what was happening. So he became that light that continued to shine. So I mean, as I know you are, Don, and you know, the man from Missouri, and you know, the call-in people, we think so much of Ron because he did a lot for us, you know, just by being who he was.
Yeah, I agree. Steve from the Midwest, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just want to, you know, I'm glad that you're carrying on his legacy. I think that's it's beautiful that you're doing that. But I just wanted to say one thing. I'm going to have to go. I'm driving up there, so I got to get some rest because I got to leave at like 3 in the morning. So I've got to go ahead and get to bed. But I will talk to you. We'll keep in touch.
Yeah. I will contact you tomorrow. I'll be very near where the funeral service is, and I'll text you where I'm at. So.
Okay. All right.
If you can make it,
all right,
we'll figure it out. Okay. Thank you, Charles.
All right.
Steve.
All right. All right.
Bye-bye. Good
night.
Janelle, that was a lot. I'm glad that Miss Valerie called from MPN. I said that was a lot. That was a lot of information right there from Valerie from MPN. But a lot going on, and again, my not attending Mr. Edwards' funeral is not meant as being disrespectful, but I would not be able to sit there and look at these hypocrites and hold my tongue. They'd have to carry me out of there. And anybody that goes to Mr. Edwards' funeral tomorrow, think about it. Think about everybody that's going to be up there talking about him. Mr. Edwards has talked about on this radio show. I'm absolutely positively sure.
Yeah.
In one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So why would they organize a political funeral with members of the DFL that laughed at him? Senator Champion, Senator Hayden, Sharon Sales Belton, former mayor of Minneapolis. Thought it was a joke. So now you want to rush and give Mr. Edwards a proclamation. Well, you know what? We're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to take it sitting down. You can't shut this show off.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't. There's no off switch. There's no public off switch. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're out there in the community trying to represent the community and you're doing the wrong thing, you will be exposed. That is my promise. Mr. Edwards would want me to say this. You know, as quiet as it's kept, Mr. Edwards was responsible for the Independent Business News Network. You know, we tracked $200 million going into black agencies to black folks in North Minneapolis, and the people in North Minneapolis were not getting a penny.
Wow.
We watched $1.5 million from the 2011 tornado in North Minneapolis. We watched 3 years later, people still had blue tarps on the side of their house. Okay? So, again, I don't want the black community in the Twin Cities to look at a white person and say, oh, it's the white man's fault. The white people are doing this. Because all this racism, all this hate, all this stuff that's going on in our community, there's a guy that calls the show every now and then. His name is Mr. Larry Tucker. He says it's not them, it's us. Meaning it's not the white folks.
It's partly them, too. It's partly. It's us. It's both of us. It's them and us. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, you know what, I'm not gonna argue with you, but I'm just...
Yeah, I just have to say that. It's both. It's some people on our side, I definitely agree, but it's I know some people who have come with real initiatives, and they won't give any funding to something that's really going to cause change, that's really going to uplift the Black community. It's really hard to get, if you have a grassroots organization and you're not a part of that DFL group or that you know, that in group that's supposed to do a whole show at your friend's funeral tomorrow. If you're not a part of that in group and you're kind of an outsider and you come with some type of initiative, you don't get any headway in Minnesota. You won't get any funding. You won't get anything. So
yeah.
It seems like it's monopolized to them, everything, and they're ineffective. So what do we do? But yeah.
You're absolutely right. But can we look at this from a Republican's point of view?
But what are Republicans doing? Absolutely nothing either. So it's like, I feel like I'm at a stalemate. I don't know what to do as a Black person in Minnesota. I don't, left, right, straight, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. But check this out. So there's an estimated 300,000 Black folks in Minnesota, at least around here, okay? At least within 150 or 200 miles from where both of us sit right now. There might be, and this is an estimate, there might be 100,000 of those folks with a full-time job. A middle class, for lack of a better word. And there might be out of that 100,000, maybe 30 or 35,000 upper middle class. So what would be wrong if we as Black Minnesotans funded ourselves? You know, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The bougie Negroes in Minnesota don't have time for failure. You don't see them at Urban League meetings. You don't see them at UROC meetings.
You don't see them doing anything else either, though. You don't see them at those meetings, but you don't see them creating a new organization or a new thing that could propel us as a community either. I just don't see them. I see them in the neighborhoods where they want to live with people that don't look like them. They want to live over there, and that's fine.
Yeah. But has anybody attempted? Janelle, if I'm off track, you got to tell me. I know you will.
That's why you're on this show.
I'm
just saying that Black Republicans are not the solution either. DFL, definitely not the solution. So what's the solution? I don't know, but I don't see nobody coming up with anything brilliant. Like,
I'm not saying the Black Republican solution. I'm not saying any political party is a solution. I'm saying Black people have enough. We spend more money on tennis shoes and electronics that if 100,000 of us could give $12 a month for 12 months to the Minneapolis Urban League, 100,000 folks give $12 a month for 12 months to the Minneapolis Urban League, we could do a lot better. But there's a catch-22. What the hell is the Urban League going to do with the money?
Exactly.
Do they need
to create a whole different organization without those people, and then we're not going to get any funding for it because it's not those people. It'll be very difficult. It's possible. I think anything's possible, but where is that spirit at that, like, Mr. Edwards had? Where is that? We don't, like you said, where is the people, like, Elon, like, where is that? Where are those people with that fire in our community? Because if they existed, then we'd be able to do something collectively like that. And it could possibly be very successful.
We used to do that. I mean, just think about when things
were bad,
we would band together and do it. I mean, they say, well, you know, Miss Rosa Parks didn't have to get off the bus. She said, you don't want us to ride the bus. Well, we won't ride your buses no more in Alabama. My mother was born and raised down there. She said, we won't ride. We'll walk to work. We'll ride our bikes to work. We'll walk. And they turned that whole thing around collectively. And see, and this is where we continue to fall down, as the young lady is saying, where collectively, and as Don is saying too, collectively we can do a lot. We still can do it. But there's nobody that has the real organization. I mean, you look at it, there's nobody of the, you know, the Martin Luther King types. You know, this is where Ron is coming from. You know, someone that could, with their words, they changed, he changed the whole world. It made the world better, not just for black people, but for everybody.
Definitely.
As
he's
I said
like
before,
prophet.
I mean, Martin Luther King turned the dogs off. He turned the hoses off. He turned all of that stuff around. He changed the schools. All of a sudden, the schools had to come together. And now all of this is really dissipating. You see it in the Minneapolis schools. You see it in the disparities that they continue to tell us in Minnesota, all these disparities. Well, okay, tell me something I don't know, but tell me what are we going to do about it? And it's pretty mm-hmm. clear to me that we have to do it. Because there, if we leave it to others to do, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And we need more voices like Ron Edwards. We need more people to pull together with this spirit of togetherness to make things happen. I mean, one person, two people can only do so much. But if we as a group, we demand, I mean, we're taxpayers. Everybody pays their taxes. We should be able to get, as Spike Moss would say, our fair share. I mean, this is what we're asking for. But again, asking doesn't seem to be good enough. Asking for some reason doesn't seem to be quite good enough.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Em, and it's a tough way. It's a tough road. Again, our number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. You're listening to the Ron and Stradon Show with Don Allen. That's me and Ms. Janelle Hehe over in Studio C. Or D, or whatever we're going to call that eventually. And Mr. M from his palatial estate. And I think, Mr. M, you're in Studio C then, right?
I'm in Studio C, yes. I've tried to find Studio A and B, but it was on a roundabout, and I've never been able to quite find those studios. But one day, maybe I'll get a promotion one day, and I'll be able to.
I would like for you to get a promotion. Hey, we have a caller calling in there. Your last score is 1584. Caller, you're live on the Ron and Don Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I
Hello.
Just heard. Yes, how you doing? How you doing?
Okay, how you doing?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I just wanted to chime in a little bit about some of the information you mentioned about the Urban League. And I just wanted to follow up with you. To see, you know, as far as the facts was concerned, do you know how many first-time home buyers that went through the Urban League in the last 2 years? Do you have any idea? Do you have any?
You know
how
what?
Many,
I really don't. No.
Do you know how many graduates that then went through the IT program? They have graduated over 300 people with certifications in the last 2 years of the Urban League.
Let's
did
get
you
to your point.
Did you realize that their employment placement was the best in the city in the last 2 years as far as livable wage jobs? So
what's a livable wage job?
When you talk about the 100,000 people giving $12 and what they're going to do with the money, some of those types of things have already been done. And can you imagine what that type of revenue would add to the programs and the initiatives that is already there?
Talk over each other here. I would like to make a statement. We can't talk over each other, so I'd like to make a statement. What I'm saying is, hold up just a minute. What I'm saying is, talking to my co-host here, I just wonder if we as black people pulled together instead of trying to get money from the state legislature, instead of trying to get money from over here and always hustling. I know the Urban League does this kind of stuff, but I sit back and I look at the Minneapolis Foundation routing $250,000 to Pillsbury United Community versus the Urban League. I watched the 2017 and 2016 legislative session close with $4 million to go to Emerge and skip the Minneapolis Urban League. So I guess my question is why?
Well, you know, there's some history there, obviously. you know, some of the things that have taken place in the past, and some of the present administration is still paying the price for that, you know. And also, we having to share those resources with other communities now, the LGBTQ communities and the Hmong communities and the Somali communities, and a lot of those types of resources are being spread.
Can I say something here on that? We are not victims as Black people, okay? I understand that the easiest thing for folks to say is that, oh, we got to share it with the gay people. We got to share it with the Somali. We got to share it with the Hispanic Latino. But Black people by ourselves are strong. We have enough income to support our own. Where's the plan? Where is the plan? There is no plan. The Urban League is supposed to be the strongest. There was never should have been a movement called Black Lives Matter. I'm not saying it was bad, but I'm not saying there should have been one. Back in the day, there was the NAACP. There was the Urban League. If you had a problem like police killing Black men, the Urban League, the NAACP, what happened to those people? I don't know if you know anything about Mr. Edwards, but Mr. Edwards watched the NAACP come to Minneapolis for a convention in the 70s and the 80s. He watched the bag man bring money and hoes down to the Minneapolis Marriott Hotel. He wrote the story tastefully about corruption inside the NAACP. Do you know he's one of the handful of Black men expelled for life from the NAACP because of telling the truth? Now, let me get back on point. You called here and told me that Urban League is doing these graduate programs, these housing. That's great. But I know the white folks that work in these offices. I've been in the Minneapolis Urban League. There's some Black people there, too. But I know where the foundation is coming. You can have good numbers. But I'm saying, where's the plan for Black Minnesotans? Where's the plan for the Urban League? What's the plan to make the Urban League sustainable? Why are these people getting up on stage tomorrow to talk about someone they couldn't stand, including Steve Belt?
Well, I'm just going to stay in my lane here. You know, it's just that, you know, obviously the entire mission and the goal is to be self-sufficient and also to be independent. You know, that's the ultimate goal. And that's just also not just for the Urban League and for other organizations, but that's also for each home, for each family, and up and down the block, everybody to be self-sufficient and have the resources and have the opportunity to make that happen.
What is the plan? What is the plan? How do we get more Black teachers in the school? How do we get our kids from only being 22% proficient in reading, math, and science? Where is the plan? When Mr. Edwards led the Urban League as the longest-seated chairman of the board, there was two schools, 250 employees. The year-to-year budget was like $6, $8, $10 million. They don't have that anymore. So, yeah, there is a history there.
Well, I think, you know, this is him. I think, you know, the gentleman brought up an interesting point, you know, that dollars are being dissipated to the LGBT and to the Hmong and to the Somali. But, I mean, you know, but the African-American, as Ron would say, sons and daughters of the Africans have been here for 400 years, and we pay taxes to this country all this time. We have been in this country. So, in other words, to me, there should be a hierarchy. You know, we should be on this hierarchy. And I think all the others, the movement started in the 60s behind Black people trying to say and show the treatment that we had been given since we were brought over here. And so these organizations cannot allow themselves to get off of their mission because other people need to have their own mission. I have no problem with that. They can have their own mission. They can do their own thing. But that doesn't just, to me, our organizations should not take a sidestep or take a back seat to anybody because we've been here and we were the builders of this country. And we need to keep that in the forefront of our thinking.
The reason that LGBT community,
they already have a lot of funding and a lot of resources already in their own groups. And if I walk, as a heterosexual African-American woman, if I walk into an LGBT place saying, hey, what do you have for African-American women? They're going to send me walking. Same thing if I go to a Somalian, Somalian organization. I can't get anything from them. As a matter of fact, they really don't even like me. Personally, they don't have anything in common with me. They're like, bye, I don't have anything for you. I don't know why we have our the limited resources we have to share it with other communities. I just want to say one more thing real quick. I went to a Martin Luther King celebration at a community center over South Minneapolis, and they opened up with an LGBT band, and I walked out. I just couldn't. I have all the respect in the world for the LGBT community, but this was a day to celebrate Martin Luther King, and I just thought it was totally inappropriate.
Yes, thank you.
Just completely inappropriate. So, yeah.
Well, the reason I picked up the phone
and made the call to your show is when I heard you mention that there was 100,000 people and that $12 a piece for 12 months. And then you went on to say, well, what will they do with the money? And that comes back to me. That was my trigger. That means that we don't trust each other. And if we're going to get that plan ever moving forward, if we're going to ever get that plan that you're speaking of moving forward, we have to trust each other. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm. You know what, sir? I'm going to share something with you. I wasn't going to say this publicly. I was going to call you after the show, but you need to know where I'm coming from and why I said that. I have a close friend, well, semi-close, an associate. He doesn't make any decisions, but he works for a major, major Fortune 500 company. He goes, Don, you ought to write a grant and send it over to the Urban League because we're going to be granting, this agency is granting $500,000 to new groups that haven't applied before. So I went to Mr. Belton. I said, hey, I didn't ask him for a penny. I said, Mr. Belton, I'm going to write this grant. He said, yeah, okay, send it to my secretary, blah, 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 blah. So I wrote it. I wrote the hell out of it. I sent it over to the Urban League. I didn't hear a word from them. I called and left my name. I said, I need to talk to Mr. Belton. It wasn't until, 2014 or 15, that I saw him and Gary Cunningham, who was working for the Northwest Area Foundation at the time, in the parking lot by the state capitol, because there was a meeting up there, a press conference they were involved in. And I said, hey, Mr. Belton, I sent this to you, and it's past the deadline. He goes, oh, I never got it. Just send it to me. Send it to my regular email next time. And I'm like looking at him like, really? I said, when you reach out to these folks, I have documented history of how much money goes where it went, who got it, and just about what they did with it in detail.
Well, I just want to make a correction there, sir. Respectfully, but I think Mr. Scott Gray was the president CEO 2014-2015. Mr. Belton came on as the interim president in 2016, I think it was. So I just want to make that correction.
But you know what? We'll continue this conversation on next Saturday, if you'd like to call in and have this conversation, because we have 2 minutes left. And I want to say goodbye to Mr. M and then close out here in the next 1 minute and 12 seconds. And I appreciate you calling, sir, and I will be glad to have this discussion live on the air next week. Thank you for calling. With that said, hey, M, thanks for calling tonight. I'm sure you'll give us an update next week of what happened. We're depending on it. And I appreciate you calling. Thank you. And Janelle, thank you for joining me tonight. Yeah, thank you for joining me tonight. I didn't mean to get triggered by the Urban League thing, but I had to go there. And I think it's a great show. We spent 90 minutes here talking about this. It was wonderful. I appreciate it. I look forward to next Saturday at 9:30, the regular time, for the Ron and Don Show, featuring myself and you, Ms. Janelle Hehe, live on the air and stream live on Facebook Live. With 10 seconds left,
right.
Thank you. And we have Mr. Edward's favorite song here in the next 4 seconds because we're going to get cut off.